This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Couple last things on Father's Day. I shared one of my favorite photos I have where I'm with my father in the lobby of CCO last winter, and I love that photo. If you want to check it out, at Chad Hartman Show. And Dan, I know you wanted to say one more thing about Father's
Day. Yeah, there's one other thing that occurred to me, and I'm kind of kicking myself for not having said it right out of the gate, but I have two very dear friends of mine who have what is most kindly described as very complicated relationships with their fathers. And so I think we should just also, you know, point out or make mention of and let folks, you know, that are in that situation know that they're seen too. That yesterday was really, really hard for a lot of people, both because they had lost their fathers or because they have this complicated relationship and are maybe more distant from their father than they'd like to be. And you have a lot of folks that are seeing on social media all these people celebrating their relationships with their dads, and that, it, you know, and they should be able to do that. And at the same time, that can be really hard for some folks who don't have that kind of relationship. And I just thought we should mention that too.
Very, very well stated. I'd say it was pretty good for First Father's Day, Adam, for John Rahm. John Rahm entered the week of the U.S. Open as the favorite. Not a Tiger favorite. And this is the first U.S. Open since Tiger won at Torrey Pines. I know they didn't talk about that much last week. Did you remember that, Adam, that Tiger won?
Expect made a putt? Anything different?
Yes. It wasn't that, but it was a hell of a golf tournament.
Yes.
And at about the, well, just before the turn, you could make an argument 10 guys could have won the tournament. And about every young big knocker that you wanted. I mean, I don't know who was missing. I guess Spieth was missing. Yeah. But for a while, Thomas, Koepka, DeChambeau, Rory, Rahm, Morikawa. It was phenomenal. And then, whoa, did we see some train wrecks. Whoa, did we see some meltdowns. Bryson, 44. Rory has to slip away. Koepka vanishes. Morikawa goes away. And it came down to two. It came down to Rahm and Louis. And for Rahm to make those two twisting left-to-right putts, which is not even close, the hardest putts to make for a right-hander, and to do it on the 17th and 18th holes, John Rahm, you're a bad man. He joins Ben Hogan, Tom Watson, and Jack Nicklaus, and now it's John Rahm. That's your list to win the U.S. Open and birdie the last two. He won his first event in San Diego. He has come very close to winning the Farmers again. He proposed to his now wife in San Diego. He just had what happened with the Memorial where he tests positive. After the third round, he's got a six-shot lead. He is oozing mega talent. He has been in the mix to win it, and he is a worthy, worthy champion. And for me, I now put, for my TV viewing enjoyment, it's third on my list. Augusta's one. British is the closest of closest seconds. And the U.S. Open is third. But if you want to watch an event, Carter, where the wheels can come off at any moment and drama and tension is going to be a part of it, The U.S. Open is right there awaiting your appetite.
Yeah, for years, it was my favorite major. I loved the U.S. Open. There was something about it. It was just the time of year. It was always very hot, and it was nice to get out of the heat to come in the air conditioning and watch the U.S. Open. And it was for that reason, too. They make these big, bad golf courses and see these guys struggle mightily. It's no longer up there for me, but, yeah, that was – tremendous viewing experience yesterday. And look, John Rahm, after what happened at the Memorial, could have came and, you know, bitched and moaned, and a lot of people would said, right on, man. And he didn't. Yep. He said, look, those were the rules, and that's what happened. And he said, you know, if the people saying I should have gone out, should have been able to go golf by myself, that's ridiculous. Those were the rules in place, and I knew that. So good on him for, you know, having a great attitude about that, at least publicly. Just fantastic.
His public statements were great.
Yeah, couldn't have been better. And to do what he did, it was fun to watch. I've always liked him. I thought he used to be a little, you know, kind of a negative guy at first. He used to be you know, his emotions would get the best. A fiery Spaniard. Again, I texted you yesterday. Can you be a Spaniard and not be fiery? I don't think he can.
It's just, how about a fiery Norwegian?
Right, you don't hear, you know? It's not associated with, the fiery Norwegian. It's always the fiery Spaniard. Yeah, but he did. He was kind of a, you know, he let the emotions get the best of him.
He's calmed down.
He's calmed down big time. And even yesterday when he had some bad luck, you could tell he was very positive. And I like the guy, and I wanted him to win for quite a while now, and I'm happy he got the victory.
Yeah, I mean, Dan, we never know what people are really like behind the scenes, but John Rahm always comes off as a very well-adjusted, intelligent, taking everything in his proper perspective. So we talked a little golf today.
Yeah.
Let's debate what you brought up to me with Oosthuizen, who made this is his sixth second place in a major since he blew away the field at St. Andrews to win the Open in 2010. He makes an inexplicable decision on 17. And it was more not the decision, it was the execution. He could hit it 50 yards, I'm not exaggerating, maybe 60 yards right of the hazard, the cliff on the left, and he hits it in the cliff. I mean, unforgivable. So now he has to eagle 18, Louis does. Doesn't hit a great drive because it stays in the rough and it looks like a borderline lie. It's a par five. He's got to make eagle, so raise the point we were talking about today.
Well, it just, you know, he gets to that second shot and you saw he and his caddy taking a long time over, you know, what are we going to do? Are we going to try and go for the green? Are we going to lay up here? Knowing that you had to get an eagle, my question was, even with a questionable lie, aren't you better off going for the green and at least trying to get somewhere close where a chip-in is possible or maybe a long putt might be possible? Because how many times have you seen a guy from 70 yards or whatever the third shot he had was hole it out when they have to hole it out? I mean, can you do that? Sure, you can. But it's exceedingly rare in my experience to see even a professional be able to do that. So aren't you better off taking your chances? If you hit a bad shot, if you bring the water into play, whatever it is, aren't you better off trying to get close than laying up?
So here's the list in the U.S. Open on the 18th hole when you're two down and you jar a 70-yard wedge shot. Okay, I'm done. That's the list. Okay. Now, Cardell will remember this. It's 2011, 2012. Mickelson is two behind Bubba at the same course at Torrey. He had bones, as we call him. Jim McKay, 10 the flag. And Mickelson almost made it. Without being able to see the lie right there, I had no problem with his decision, Adam.
That's
because you do have the water to the left, and you have thick, rough to the right. If this is when they're playing the normal former Andy Williams, the Farmers, and it's a little, well, not a little, it's noticeably lighter rough, then you try to force up a hybrid and get lucky. But right now, the miss on that shot, it's going to go left on you. It's going to go left on you. It's going to churn the club head just a little bit, and you're hitting the water. it was an awful dilemma. There was a decision where there was no good decision. You don't hit it left on 17, Louis, okay? But I think he made the right decision myself.
Yeah, I mean, I'm seeing that too. I mean, that's my gut is like, well, just give it all you got and just try for the best. But that, to me, they looked at the lie and said, well, it's just physically impossible to do that. So let's next best option, get it to a yardage that you can manage and give it your best shot for the third shot.
Can I mention one last thing about Rahm, by the way, since you guys were talking about him?
Sure. Did I mention where he went to school?
Some community college somewhere is what I heard. That period of time,
ASU.
That period of time between him finishing his round and Oosthuizen finishing his round to where Rahm knew he had won the tournament, it was fantastic the number of times they were able to kind of check in on him. And just you could tell how his nerves were there, and he was trying to burn off this nervous energy moving around, finally going out to the practice tee. Yeah. But I just thought that was sensational how real that moment was in leading up to him finally realizing he had won the tournament.
Captured very well by NBC, the premier network for me covering golf. I'll take NBC over all the other ones. Let's do this. Let's pause. About an hour and a half ago, we recorded an interview with City Council member Andrea Jenkins. She is the number one council member who will answer our calls and answer difficult questions. She's the vice president. President Bender won't even return our calls, and so many others. You may not agree with Andrea Jenkins, just like you don't agree with other folks maybe who are right of center. But she shows up. She answers questions, and she's with us on 38th in Chicago and on gun violence in Minneapolis after this update on weather and traffic on CCO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.